Well, good morning. Are you hearing me? I can hear an echo, so we're on. It's a privilege to be here to share God's word with you again. Since the last time I spoke here, I resigned my position as assistant pastor at Grace Bible, and there I was doing a lot of administrative things, and I like to teach the word of God. I like to preach. Didn't have any idea what I was going to do. Phone starts ringing. Got 5 weeks Sunday mornings in a row where I got a church to speak at. And then also some of the Bible churches have a Bible Institute, and they've asked me to teach the prison epistles there, which I love to teach the Word of God. So God's opening up different doors, and I'm really enjoying this. And I really enjoy being in different churches and seeing how they worship in different ways. Sometimes they're different. That doesn't mean it's bad. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. So it's a privilege to be here. I was to give you a greeting from one of your missionaries, Danny Cummings at Lighthouse Border Mission. I have frequent contact with him. We've been down there, I don't know, at least five times maybe. And he said to tell the church hello. Things are going well with him. The COVID has been a real problem in that area. And he works with a number of pastors on the Mexico side and some on the American side. And two of the pastors have passed away from COVID that he had worked with. Now, they were both older, and they both had pre-existing health conditions, but there's churches there that are without a pastor right now. So he asked you to remember them. Excuse me. Well, the message today is making things right. How many of you watch the news? And you see all the anger, and you see all the hatred, and you see all the animosity that's going on in our community. Everybody seems to be mad at everybody else. Can it be fixed? It's interesting, in the Sunday school class, in the prayer request, it was mentioned that politics isn't going to fix all our problems. And what was the thing that's gonna? And that is the gospel. So let's suppose in our country, in a rare moment of bipartisanship, Congress decides they're going to have a commission or a committee of people to decide how to get better unity in our country. The Democrats and the Republicans, they come together and they say, we're going to get a committee. And they're going to pick regular people out of the community to be on this committee. Not people on the inside, but just normal, regular people. And lo and behold, they randomly pick your name to be on this committee. And then they do something even more odd. They tell you, we don't want you to tell us what's politically correct. We don't want you to, you know, tell us what you think we want to hear. We want to you to tell us what actually would solve the problems in our country. So let's pretend you're on this committee. What would be your answer? Nobody's going to argue with you. Nobody's going to complain with you. What would be the main thing that would bring our country together and create unity? Anybody have an answer? Jesus. The gospel. People getting saved. People getting their hearts changed. And that's what's going to change the tone in our country. Well, you know, there's a situation in Scripture where there was a social issue, and some people had been wronged, and people were in different social classes, and how were they going to work together? Well, there was a little epistle in your Bible, which you read Scripture from this morning. Sorry about giving you the tough names. And the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon is an interesting book. And it's one of the epistles written by Paul. And it was written to an individual. How many other epistles of Paul were written to individuals? Anybody think of anything else? Timothy and Titus. So there are three epistles that were written to individuals. Titus and Timothy were both preachers. But Philemon was not a preacher per se. It's an interesting little book. He's addressing a personal problem as well as a social issue in the culture. Now, for those of you that like outlines. In Bible college, I was taught you got to have a three-point alliterated outline. You can waste way too much time getting that figured out, but this one came together pretty good. In verses 1 to 7, we have preliminary verses. In verses 8 to 16, we have a personal plea. And in verses 17 to 25, they were partnering together. So let's look at this. And this is going to be more of a teaching thing. We're going to go through the first couple verses rather quickly because it's introduction, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. And I am trying something different that I've never done before. And I'm preaching out of one of your pew Bibles, being that it's ESV. And I figure that's probably what the congregation is most comfortable with. I'm used to preaching out of the same Bible I study from, and then I can look and I know about where that verse is going to be. So this might be a challenge for me. But we'll try something different. All right, we start off in Book of Philemon. There only is one chapter. We're going to study a whole book today. What do you think of that? Okay? Philemon, verse 1. It starts off with Paul. Now, that's the way Paul usually starts out his letters, right? He's making it really clear who's speaking here. And what does Paul normally say in one of his epistles? He always says, Paul what? An apostle. But if you look in Philemon, it doesn't say Paul an apostle. Why not? He's not bringing out the big guns. He wants to come to Philemon as his friend, not as someone with authority lording it over him, but he's coming to him as a friend with a personal request. So it starts out with Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What in the world is he talking about? He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul is in prison in Rome for what reason? Because of his faith, because he had been preaching Jesus Christ. Now, but I thought the Romans were the ones that were holding him. Yeah, they were, technically, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then who was with him? It says, and Timothy. Now, who was Timothy? Timothy was a young man who Paul had led to the Lord, and he traveled with him, and Paul was training him and mentoring him to be a pastor. Paul knew that he was going to be leaving the scene before long, and Timothy was a guy who was going to step up and take some of the position and do some of the things that Paul had been doing. So Paul and Timothy are who this letter is from, and it's addressed to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. Now Philemon lived in the city of Colossae, remember the book of Colossians, and he apparently was fairly well off because we'll see in the end of this verse that the church meets in his house. Now, in the early church, up until about 300 AD, churches met in people's houses. There weren't any official buildings. And so in the town of Colossae, there may have been multiple places where they had house churches. And this church is meeting in Philemon's house. It says to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. Paul had an affection for Philemon, and they worked together in the gospel. It's also believed that Paul was the one who had led Philemon to the Lord, and we'll see that in some later verses. And to Philemon, our fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister. Now that is Philemon's wife, they believe. And Archippus, our fellow soldier, that would have been his son. So he's addressing it to these three individuals. And the issue that he's dealing with is a runaway slave. Now, Philemon's wife would have probably been more responsible for overseeing the slaves. He would have most likely been a household slave, and so she would have had a close relationship with this slave. And so Paul is addressing her as well as Philemon. And it says, and to the church in your house. And we've already addressed that. So in verse 3 then, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul always had that in his epistles. Grace, what was that grace? Grace is God giving you things that you don't deserve, and peace. Through Christ, that's the only way that we can really have peace. In verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Huh. Paul is praying for Philemon. And not only is he praying for him, he's thankful for him. He's encouraged by the things that he's seen Philemon do for the Lord, and he's praising the Lord for that. Are there people that you're being a blessing to in your Christian life that are thankful for you, that and somehow you've been a blessing to them, and they're holding you up in prayer, not just in thanksgiving, but interceding on your behalf. In verse 5, because I hear of your love and the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. Word has gotten back to Paul. Paul is in Rome. Philemon is in Colossae. But word has gotten back about his faith that he loves the other believers. He has a good reputation. That's something we as believers, we need to maintain a good reputation. The bad things are going to get around. You do something wrong as a Christian, that's going to get around really quickly, right? But if you're serving and following the Lord, that gets around a little slower, but it still got around for Philemon. So we continue. Oh, where are we at here? And verse 6, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Paul here is acknowledging that that he's a believer and that Philemon wants to share his faith. He wants other people to come to the Lord. And Paul's praying that it would be effective in doing that. In verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from you, or can comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul has heard that Philemon has been a blessing to other people. And that's been an encouragement to him. What do people say about you? Are you being a blessing? Are you being an encouragement? If you're helping other people, it's going to encourage other people in your Christian faith. So now we're going to move in. That was the introduction. We're going to move into the personal plea. There's an issue here that Paul wants to address. In verse 8, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Remember, Paul was the apostle. He had authority. He could have come in heavy and hard on Philemon and said, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what you need to do, and this is how it is. And he could have done that. But in verse 9, what does he do? Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Rather than coming in hard and heavy, he's going to make a compassionate appeal. You know, have you ever noticed in dealing with other people, maybe you've got a supervisor, you've got people under your work, or maybe it's in your family, or maybe it's in the church. There may be times that you have the authority, you could just come down on those people and tell them how it is. And there's times that needs to happen. But a lot of times, that love and that compassion and that appealing to their spirit and what's right might get you further. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's appealing to him in love. He says, I, Paul, an old man. Now, what would be your definition of an old man? That changes. When I was a teenager, anybody who was 40 was like 1 foot in the grave. I mean, you were old, right? 40, that's young now to me. To most of you here, that's young. Well, what's an old man? Well, when it's used in Scripture, when he's referred to as an old man, the simple definition is not young. And that would be anybody that was more than 50 years old. So most everybody here would fall in that category. Paul, he's appealing to him as an old man and as a prisoner also for Jesus Christ. He's sort of playing the sympathy card here with Philemon, right? I'm an old guy, and I'm in jail because of what I've done for Jesus, and so now I'm going to appeal to you. He says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. His child, or his son. How many sons did Paul have? We don't know that he had any physical children. There's no indication of that. But he referred to Timothy as his son. He referred to Titus as his son. And he refers here as Onesimus as his child or his son. So how is Onesimus his child? He was his spiritual child, his spiritual son. Paul had led Onesimus to the Lord. And it says in the end of verse 10, whose father I became in my imprisonment. So Paul is in prison in Rome. And this guy, Onesimus, who was a slave in Colossae, runs away from his master. And where are you going to go if you're running away? You're going to go to the biggest city that you can find and try to get lost, right? Because there were people out there that would try to catch slaves, you know, take them back, make money on this deal. So you had to go get lost in the crowd. Onesimus shows up in Rome, which just happens to be the same place that the Apostle Paul is. Coincidence or God's leading? Sometimes situations in our lives might look like a coincidence, but God is working, putting things together for his plan and his purpose. So his child Onesimus. Verse 11. Formerly he was useless to you. Now it's interesting. This is a play on words. The name Onesimus means useful or profitable. Okay? And a lot of slaves were named that at that time. In fact, as we talk about the slavery, the estimates in the Roman Empire at that time was 30% or more of the population were probably slaves then. And some of those slaves were teachers, they had learned trades, and a lot of those slaves were better off than the free poor, the free really poor people, because at least the slaves had a roof over their head and a place to stay. There were people in the Roman Empire who were free that were in worse shape than some of the slaves. But anyway, Onesimus. Name means useful, but he had become useless. How did he become useless? He ran away. Philemon had a job. He paid money for this slave, right? And in exchange for that money he paid, he expected to get something back. And you say, well, how in the world could Philemon have a slave? That's just not right. And I mean, how in the world could it be a Christian and have a slave? It was a different time. It was a different world. It was a different way of thinking. Does Paul address the issue of slavery? Is it addressed anywhere in the New Testament? No. Why? It was a big social issue that would interfere with the gospel. So what does Paul do? In this passage that we're going to see, he goes to the heart issue. And he addresses a person's relationship with Jesus Christ. The fact that Onesimus and Philemon were brothers in Christ. How can he be your slave when he's your brother? And that's the way Paul chose to address this. Formerly he was useless to you. He was useless. He ran away. And most likely when he ran away, he needed some money to work with when he was traveling. So we'll see later that he probably stole something. Whether it was money or took something or whatever. He was useless to you. But the verse says, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. You see, Onesimus had been helping the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. I don't know if he was going out bringing him food or getting him materials to write with or what he was doing, but Onesimus was helping the Apostle Paul. But it says he's useful to you or to Philemon. How in the world is he useful to Philemon? Well, in a roundabout way, because Onesimus was Philemon's slave and he was serving Paul, by extension, Philemon was serving Paul. Okay? Verse 12, I am sending him back to you. Why is he going to send him back? Paul's going to say, this guy's helping him out. He's going to be, you know, he's good. I like having him around. Why would he send him back? Well, Roman law said, if you were harboring a slave, you were in trouble. Now, there was one way that a slave could be kept safe, and that was if a slave went to an altar at a place of worship and turned himself in, they could get some sort of protection for a while. And at that place, then the people there would encourage them to go back to their owner. They couldn't be hauled off just right away, but they could get some protection for a period of time. But if that slave refused to go back, then that place where they were getting refuge could sell them, or was required to sell them, and send the money back to the original owner. Don't ask me how they kept track of who was who and who was whose slaves. I have no idea. I do know that slaves that ran away and were captured, if they weren't killed, which the owner had the right to crucify them for that if they wanted to, a lot of times they would be branded on their forehead with a mark that indicated that they were a runaway slave. So where's Onesimus at? He's in a rough spot here. He's become a Christian. He wants to obey God. He wants to follow God. If he goes back to his owner, he could be killed. He's going to be branded. I mean, what's he going to do? In our lives, sometimes we make choices and we make decisions and sin to get us in a rough spot. But God can get us out of that. And what God's doing here is with Onesimus, he's using the Apostle Paul to intercede on his behalf. And verse 12, Paul said, I am sending him back to you. Paul's made the decision, Onesimus, you need to go back to him, and I'm going to send him back. And he's sending my very heart. What that means is that Paul had such a strong affection and feeling for Onesimus, it was like his own heart was going back. Like he was, it was like it was tearing something out of Paul to send him back. In verse 13, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul said, I'd like to have him here. He would be helpful. Verse 14, but I prefer not without your consent. You know, Paul would have liked to have kept him there, but he's not going to keep him unless Philemon agrees to it. I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be done by compulsion, but of your own accord. Paul's saying, I'd like to have him here, but I'm not going to make him do it. If you want him back here, I want it to be your choice. Let's make a little bit of an application here. How many times in our lives do we do things out of duty? Just because, you know, well, what's it going to look like? It's not going to look good if I don't go to church. It's not going to look good if I do this or if I do that. Rather than doing it for the right motive. And that's what Paul's addressing here with Philemon. If Onesimus is here with me, and you're going to get a blessing because of him serving me, I want you to be a voluntary, willful participant in that. In verse 15, for this perhaps is why he parted from you for a while. God's working here. Paul's saying, you know, he's not saying for sure, but there's a chance that the reason Onesimus ran away was what? That he could come meet the Apostle Paul. He could come to faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. God works in strange and unusual ways in working out his plan in people's lives. And Paul's saying, hey, think about this, Philemon. Maybe that's why he left. And it's interesting, Paul sort of tunes it down here. It says he parted you from you for a while. He was a runaway slave, but Paul sort of tuned it down a little bit. He departed for a while that you might have him back forever. What's it mean to have him back forever? When Onesimus becomes a believer, him and Philemon are brothers in Christ. And they're going to be brothers forever. They're going to be one in Christ. Verse 17, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. When Onesimus goes back, he's not just going back as a slave, but he's going back as a brother in Christ. It continues, especially to me. Onesimus was a special brother to the Apostle Paul. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. When Onesimus comes back, him and Philemon are going to be brothers. And when it says in the flesh, that meant that they could work together. They had physically done things together, but they were also then going to be brothers in the Lord. I haven't looked at my notes from 15 minutes. I am completely lost. Okay. All right. So now we're up to verse 17, and this is where Paul encourages him to partner together. In verse 17, for if you consider me your partner, Paul's sort of twisting a little bit here with Philemon, like, if we're partners in this, and Paul knows what the answer is, we are partners in this, you know, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would me. Now, how would Philemon have received Paul? He'd have probably threw a feast and put him in the best room and all kinds of things. And Paul's saying, hey, when he comes back, I want you to receive him just like you would me. If he hath wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. If he had wronged him. It's like, no question. He's wronged him. He's cost Philemon money. Philemon left. There was work that didn't get done. He probably stole something when he left. There's something there that's owed. And Paul's saying, I'll cover it. Have you ever noticed in your Christian life, sometimes you just need to go the extra mile to help somebody else out, to encourage them? Paul had no obligation, responsibility to cover this. But because he thought it might help the situation, he was willing to do it. And sometimes as believers, we need to go that extra mile to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to help other people. In verse 17, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay. Now, when it says he's writing it with his own hand, that meant it was legally binding. This is like a written contract. When Paul has written this letter and he's written it, he is legally bound to pay whatever Philemon says that he owes him. But then he sort of flips it on its head a little bit. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Oh, and by the way, Philemon, I'm the one that led you to the Lord. Yeah, maybe you owe me a little something for that. I'm willing to pay, but just keep that in mind. And I don't think Paul was being nasty about it or hateful. He was just, hey, we're brothers in Christ. What are you going to do about this? Verse 20. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. How's Paul going to benefit if Philemon does the right thing? Paul is going to be blessed. Paul is going to receive joy because he's going to see one of his converts has grown spiritually and matured to the place that he's willing and able to do the right thing. He says, refresh my heart in Christ. Philemon, do the right thing and it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be an encouragement to me. You know, a lot of times in the world, people, well, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to, I don't care what other people think. That's not our philosophy as believers. It shouldn't be. Other people are watching you. Are you blessing them? Are you refreshing them? Are you encouraging them by the way you live and the things you do? Verse 21, confident in your obedience. Paul says, I know you're going to do the right thing. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul says, I'm sure you're not going to do the right thing, and you might even do more. There might be other slaves there that you need to get things right with. There might be other people that you have relationships. I'm confident that you're going to do the right thing. In verse 22, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I hope that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Paul said, hey, by the way, pray for me. I want to come visit you. Make a place, get a room ready. I want to come see you. Paul, I think, truly cared about Philemon, and he truly cared about Onesimus, and he wanted the two of them to be together, and he wanted all three of them to be able to fellowship as brothers in the Lord. Then we got a couple of closing verses here. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. So do Mark, Archippus, Demas. Remember Demas, he's the guy later on that walked away from Paul. And Luke, my fellow workers. So these are other people that are with him. They all send greetings. In verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Okay, well, you say, well, that's just a closing verse. That doesn't mean anything. I think it's really significant. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Paul's already reminded Philemon that Paul had led him to the Lord, that he's made him a new person. The grace of Jesus has been extended to him and given him spiritual life and made him a new creature. And he's reminded him of that grace. And he's encouraged him, let that grace guide your spirit, guide what you do. I want you to think about this. In a sense, we are all like Onesimus. We've run away from God. We've sinned. And we're over here living in our own little world. And God has extended his grace to us to make salvation available to any of us who will believe. God's calling us back to himself. He wants us to be his child. Or maybe you are his child, but you've gotten away from the Lord. He wants that fellowship restored. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Let God's grace guide you and direct you to live and do what he wants you to do. So I want to, in closing here, I just want to encourage you, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, it's the only way to have any real hope in this mixed up world that we're in. And then I also want to encourage you that maybe there's people in your life that have wronged you or that you've wronged. Maybe there's people that you need to go to and make things right. Just a closing illustration. About 2 months ago, a man showed up at my house. Actually, he had stopped at my brother's house first. My sister-in-law called and said, hey, there's a guy here looking for you. Little short guy, sort of fat, has a cane. Don't know who he is. Might be somebody from your church. I don't know who he is. But he's looking for you. I gave him, told him where you live. So he shows up. He gets out of the car and hardly move. Not too good of health. Are you Dave? And I said, yeah. I said, do you know me? It's like, I have no clue. Turns out it was a guy who about 25 or 30 years ago had done me wrong financially. What was he doing? He had come around to ask for my forgiveness. I think his health was to the point that he realized he probably didn't have long in this world. And the Lord had been working in his life. And he says, I need you to forgive me. He said, will you forgive me? I said, I've done did that. I've left it go. I mean, yeah, I was upset for years after he did me wrong. But you reach the point, it's like you've got to let it go. And I had no bitterness or animosity toward him for that. But he was doing the right thing in making things right. And we had an interesting conversation. He got to talk about how he's gotten into church and attending what I would consider to be a pretty decent church now, and the Lord's been working in his life, and but that took courage for him to do that. He could have just, I haven't seen him in 25 years. But he did what the Lord was leading him to do, and that would have given him peace. So if there's people, or there's things that are wrong, or people have done you wrong, maybe you need to go to them and make things right. Or maybe there are people that wronged you. You need to forgive them, even if they haven't apologized or done, come to you. Because the other choice is you become bitter, you become angry, and you become useless for the Lord. So that's my challenge for you today. The social issues that are going on in our country, the only thing that's really going to cure it is people to have changed hearts. And so as Christians, we're the ones that have the message. We need to share that with folks. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this account that you give us, a little small book in the Bible. And Lord, we're not even sure what happened, but the fact is that it's recorded in Scripture seems to indicate that Philemon did the right thing and that things were resolved. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts here, and if there's a decision that someone needs to make or action that they need to take, I pray that they would do that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.